Welcome to Alexandria Women Make History, a brief 30-minute walking tour of Old Town Alexandria. This tour is brought to you by the Alexandria Commission for Women and Friends of the Commission for Women. We're going to cover seven sites within just six blocks in the middle of Old Town, and we're going to begin our tour at the Torpedo Factory at 105 North Union Street. Once you're at the Torpedo Factory, please go up to the third floor and to the offices of Alexandria Archaeology. There you will see china owned by an Alexandria slave, Harriet Williams. We're going to tell you a little more about her and where she lived in a little bit. First, let's learn a few things about Alexandria slave women's lives. The first black bondservants arrived in the Virginia colony in about 1619, but generally, slavery didn't reach its greatest volume here until the 17th and early 18th century, when it replaced earlier colonial reliance on indentured white servants. By about 1640, some blacks in Virginia and Maryland were labeled, quote, servants for life. At the peak of slavery here, there were about 1,500 slaves in Alexandria. And then, just before the Civil War started, there were about 2,800 slaves and free African Americans living in Alexandria, in about equal proportions. The first record of a woman slave in Virginia was Mary, a Negro woman, recorded in about 1621. She married a free black man, Anthony Johnson, who worked on a plantation, and they had four children. Slavery was focused on the big plantations, of course, and it affected women differently than men. Women were not as likely to be captured and sent to America directly from Africa as were men, but they were often mistreated on the passage over, beaten and sexually abused. Women became runaways less often than men, probably because they had children to raise. But it's a mistake to think of women slaves as less angry and more passive than men. They too took revenge in other ways, destroying tools, faking illnesses, setting fires, and on occasion, poisoning abusive masters. Now let's go downstairs to the rest of the Torpedo Factory. The Torpedo Factory, once just what its name implies, a torpedo factory in World War II, was transformed by the cleverness, inspiration, and hard work of two Alexandria women. In 1974, two working artists, Marge Alderson and Marion Van Landingham, led the charge to change what was an abandoned old building into an art center. Their idea, which they convinced the city of Alexandria to support, was to create a space for the artists of the community to not only work on their art, but to allow the public to watch them and then to purchase the art. Massive renovation was done in the 1980s, including a lot of sweat equity by the artists themselves, and many have studios here today. To make a long story short, today's Torpedo Factory is the largest and most unusual visual art center in America. There are 84 studios here, several group studios, galleries, and an art school. Van Landingham and Alderson are both still painting, and both have studios here today. Every year, the Torpedo Factory brings hundreds of thousands of tourists to our city, greatly helping our economy. Two women's dreams and energy made this place today's reality. Now, go out the back door of the Torpedo Factory and head toward the waterfront. Now I'm going to tell you the story of Margaret Brent. Alexandria, as you know, grew and prospered because in its founding days, it had a harbor that could accommodate large ships. That harbor today is much shallower. Hundreds of years of silt have played a role. But then Alexandria was initially populated by men of business who made their livelihood selling equipment, supplies, grain, and more to the big plantations in what is now Fairfax County. Many of these original traders settled in Alexandria. One of the people who probably landed somewhere along this waterfront, somewhere between here and National Airport to our left, was a remarkable woman named Margaret Brent. She came long before the city of Alexandria was even founded, and she was here to buy land. But Margaret Brent's story begins much earlier than her visit to what would eventually become Alexandria. She is the first woman in America to ask for the right to vote and she did it in 1648. Brent was born in Europe in 1601 and came to what was then the American colonies in 1638 to seek religious freedom. She came to the colony of Maryland with what was called a patent, a grant of land, from Cecil Calvert, giving her property in her own name. She and her sister Mary developed the property in what is now St. Mary's County, Maryland, and named it Sisters Freehold. They had no slaves and worked only with indentured servants. Margaret became very successful at her plantation and involved in her colony's business affairs. She lent money to other less successful colonists. Collecting debts owed to her and to other business led her to court frequently and led her to be considered by the American Bar Association as America's first woman lawyer. The American Bar Association's annual award to women is named in her honor. As a single woman, Brent could own property and represent herself and others, but she could not participate in the Maryland Assembly, something she needed to do to properly conduct business as a landowner. She petitioned for the right to vote in 1648, and she was denied. Probably in disgust, we don't know this for a fact, but can imagine, Brent and her sister packed up, sailed across the Chesapeake Bay to Virginia, where they bought 11,000 acres, including the land we're standing on and much of what makes up Alexandria and part of Fairfax County. She lived on her Virginia plantation, called Peace, in Fairfax County until her death in 1671. Just remember, when you stand on the land of Alexandria, this land was Margaret's land first. Now let's head up King Street two blocks to number 221, the Ramsey House, Alexandria's visitor center. And I want to tell you about Anne Ramsey. This tiny house you're standing near is a replica of what was considered to be one of the oldest original homes in Alexandria. And today it serves as the city's main visitor information center. This tiny place was the in-town home of two remarkable people, Alexandria founder William and Anne McCarthy. Born in 1740, Anne McCarthy was the daughter of Alexandria's then mayor, Dennis McCarthy, and her mother was Sarah Bell, a cousin of George Washington. She married a Scotsman, William Ramsey, who was a merchant, and who with her family and others helped basically to found our city. Anne had five daughters and three sons, but the eight children didn't seem to occupy all of her time. During the American Revolution, she was chosen treasurer of Alexandria and Fairfax County and led a huge fundraising drive among the moneyed people of Virginia to help her cousin, George Washington, feed and clothe and arm his soldiers through the hard years of the war. She raised about $75,000, and in today's dollars, that sum represents millions. Without her efforts, one wonders what might have happened to the Continental Army. Now let's head up King Street, past Market Square, and into the 400 block of King Street. Please stop outside the Office of Women at 421 King. There's not a lot to see here, but a lot happened in these two blocks. First, the office building we're outside of houses Alexandria's very active Office on Women and the Commission for Women. In the 1970s, a city employee named Vola Lawson created and chaired what was called the Ad Hoc Commission on the Status of Women in Alexandria, and a small revolution began. This commission, innocently billed as a one-time event to explore discrimination against women in the city, never went away. It became today's 15-member City Commission for Women, and that led to the creation of our Office on Women, which provides a wide array of services, including a shelter for battered women and families, to the women of our community. You're going to learn more about Vola Lawson a bit later. In the 500 block of King Street, you can see the entrance across the street from the Office on Women of the Alexandria Courthouse, which is set back from the street. Alexandria's first woman judge was the Honorable Irene Pancoast. She became a full-time judge in Alexandria's Juvenile and Domestic Relations Court in 1954. Before taking the bench, she had been an attorney and a staff member at the White House. Another very important breakthrough for women came in 1998 when the Honorable Becky Moore became the first woman judge on Alexandria's General District Court, where she serves today. And near the site of the courthouse was the home of the slave woman whose china you saw in Alexandria archaeology, Harriet Williams. She lived in a home near that of her master when that family lived in Alexandria. Let's walk back toward Market Square and walk through it. Market Square is the oldest continuously operating farmers market in the United States. Where we're headed now, though, is to the Carlisle House at 121 North Fairfax Street. Carlisle House has been part of Alexandria since the mid-1700s. It was the home of John Carlisle, a businessman who settled in Alexandria in 1741. When the lots were first auctioned in the city of Alexandria in 1749, Carlisle bought two of the most expensive. The site was ideal for his numerous businesses and gave good access to that all-important waterfront. Carlisle began building his house in 1751, and it took 3 years to complete. The style is called Georgian Palladian, and it has not changed significantly in scale and appearance since the day it was built. Carlisle was a prominent businessman and a friend of dignitaries like George Washington. He fell in love with and married Sarah Fairfax, everyone called her Sally, in 1747. She was just 19 years old, but at that age, she was responsible not only for overseeing Carlisle House, but also her family's enormous plantation in Fairfax County. Sally, the daughter of one of the area's most prominent and wealthy men, William Fairfax, gave birth to the first of her seven children. Of all seven children, only her fifth child and daughter, also named Sarah, survived early childhood. And Sally herself died giving birth to her seventh child, leaving Carlisle distraught after just 11 years of marriage and with responsibility for a little girl and a newborn infant. Soon, Carlisle married Sybil Bett West, the daughter of a friend. And Sybil had four children in 6 years, three of whom survived. Sybil also died in childbirth. These were the wealthy women at the top of the area's social pyramid, and yet their lives were difficult and filled with the tragic loss of young children and their own fragile health. Neither woman lived to be 40 years of age. Carlisle's daughter Sally, survived to adulthood and lived in the family home with her own family after John Carlisle died. By the way, Carlisle House offers excellent tours of both the house and the surrounding gardens. Now come back into Market Square and go into Alexandria's City Hall and visit the Vola Lawson Lobby. We're going to talk now about Alexandria's women political leaders. You're standing in the City Hall, a site of great significance, because it is here that women elected to public office serving on the city staff in high positions have all helped to shape our city. The first Alexandria woman elected to serve in the Virginia House of Delegates was Marion Galland. She was elected in 1963 and served three terms. In 1973, 10 years later, the first women were elected to Alexandria City Council. They were Beverly Beidler and Nora Lamborn. Bev Beidler continues to be an active part of city government today, although she no longer serves on the council. She's also a former member of the Alexandria Commission for Women. Lamborn has died, but when she was elected, she was a widow and the mother of eight children, and she was also the full-time editor of a local newspaper published then, the Alexandria Journal. Other women who have served on city council but no longer do so include Lois Walker, a prominent area businesswoman, Ellen Pickering, a longtime environmental and civic activist, Marley Inman, who became the city's first woman vice mayor in 1985, and Claire Eberwine. Claire has just been reelected to the Alexandria School Board. Today, two women serve on our council, Del Pepper, who has for many years been our vice mayor, and Joyce Woodson, an area business owner. Joyce is the first African-American woman elected to serve on the city council. Alexandria is also represented by a woman in our state senate. The Honorable Patsy Tyser also served on the city council for many years and became Alexandria's first woman mayor in 1991. and the Honorable Marion Van Landingham, who you will remember as the founder of the Torpedo Factory, served from 1982 until her retirement in 2005 in the Virginia House of Delegates. She was a particular advocate for women's issues, such as the protection of battered spouses and the victims of sexual assault. And of course, we're standing in the Vola Lawson lobby. Vola Lawson became Alexandria's first woman city manager in 1985 and held this position with great distinction until 2000. Because of her work, our city has an excellent financial standing. She improved programs for women and children, improved economic development, housing, and much more. A breast cancer survivor, she launched our annual walk to fight breast cancer, raising money to make sure poor women and people lacking insurance could get free mammograms and other diagnostic tests. She is also, as we said earlier, the founder of the Commission for Women. As you can see, once women got into city government, we've taken hold. The work of the women we've talked about helped win for Alexandria frequent national recognition as a great city for working women. Now, let's cross Royal Street and head toward Gadsby's Tavern at 134 North Royal Street, which is, by the way, a nice place for a historic lunch or dinner. Let me tell you why. This tavern, under many different names, has been operating most of the time since the days before the Revolutionary War. Here we find another interesting Alexandria woman, one Mary Hawkins, who was for a time the owner and manager of Gadsby's, although at the time it was called Mrs. Hawkins. This building was the heart of Alexandria's social and political life, and we know for sure that George Washington ate here when he was in town. His diary for January 17, 1774 notes, "Went up to Alexandria for court, supped at Mrs. Hawkins, and came home afterward." This concludes our quick six-block walking tour of just some of the women's history sites in Alexandria. On behalf of the Alexandria Commission for Women and the Friends of the Commission for Women, thank you for your interest in our city. We'll hope when time permits you'll explore our other and longer tours. Thank you for participating.